What is repentance? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Light.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Light, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Pete, for coming in. I know how busy you are, and I was a pastor one time, and you know, your job's never done.
Yeah, you know, but you're busy enough.
No, at the end of the day, I do what I'm supposed to do, and I can go home. I never, in 30 years as a pastor, 25 years as a pastor, I never went home thinking I did it all.
That's true.
I just never stopped.
That's true. Pray for me.
I do.
I know.
I'm praying for your salvation, to be perfectly honest with you. No, I do appreciate your taking your time. And Pete Allison is my pastor, and he comes in on Fridays to answer questions with me, and we love to get your questions. You can send them to Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address if you want a response. And by the way, don't use the 1-800 number Key Life, 1-800 Key Life number to ask questions. You keep trying to do that, and it's just not going to work. You can become a part of our Key Life Take Family free, get the booklets free, subscribe to the magazine free. You can make a contribution, but you got to write out the questions. And we love to get your questions, and you always get an answer from me or a staff member or on the broadcast or the magazine. Hey, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll turn to these questions.
All right. Our Father, we pause for a minute wherever we are right now, and we think of you. We're grateful that we can pray. And Father, we don't understand always how prayer works, but we know that it is our conversation with you that leads us into your presence, that has an impact in your kingdom and in your world and changes us. Lord, how good it is to be able to come and pray. And we come to you because you are the Father who created us, and you sent the Savior who redeemed us, and the Spirit who lives inside of us and comforts us and leads us. And so we worship you, and we need you. We confess that if it weren't for you, we would be nothing. And so thank you for your grace and your mercy and your patience with us. Continue to change us, Lord, we pray, and encourage us by worship. We do look forward to Sunday, a time to gather with your people. This weekend to worship you and to give honor and praise to you for who you are. And then to listen, we pray, Father, that you would give a message to your leaders, to those who stand before us as priests and pastors. We also pray for the families, pastors' wives and children, so vulnerable, so open and exposed often. Lord, we pray you'd encourage them. Use them, though, and make us the recipients of your message that we could live for you in this world and know more about your grace. So, Father, now we just commit our time to you. Pray you'd be with Steve. Thank you for him and for how you speak through him so often in our lives. Encourage him, keep him strong, and use him. And may the ministry of Key Life continue to go forward. Answer our questions, Father, because you're our Father and because Jesus is our Lord, as we pray these things in his name. Amen.
Amen. This from New Hampshire, Pete. What is repentance?
You know, we were talking about this before we went on the air. I love your explanation. Why don't you give it?
Well, the reason it's such an important question to me, as you know, it's from a Greek word, metanoia, and literally it means a changing of one's mind. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't stop there, but that's what the literal meaning of the word is. But I want you to know, for years and years and years, I couldn't repent because I'd been told that forgiveness was what you got when you asked for it, but repentance was, if you spilt milk, you got forgiven for it, but repentance was cleaning up the milk. And you know, there were things, besetting things in my life, and I said, you know, I can't repent because I can't change. I've tried and tried and tried. And so for years, and I believe that Satan did a number to me at that point, because I didn't understand what repentance is. And so this is the definition, and you know this, we teach it in our seminar. Repentance is knowing who you are, knowing who God is, knowing what you've done and why it is out of kilter with God, and going before him with it and telling him.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, floodgates of power open, and then the bolt in his net, and he begins to change. There's stuff in my life in those days that I believe stayed in my life because I couldn't repent, because somebody had told me something about repentance that wasn't true. And the way I became a spiritual giant who sits across the table from you right now is understanding what repentance is. Repentance is the work of God's Spirit in us.
Yeah.
And I think Christians are called to live a life of repentance.
So it's not just a one-time thing when we come to faith in Christ. It's a sort of a daily deal.
Oh, it's a daily thing of walking with him. When Bill Bright, and I love Bill Bright, I one time fought over whether he was going to carry my suitcases or not when I was speaking for a crusade event. But Bill is one of my heroes. But when Bill talks about spirit, you know, in the Holy Spirit booklet about breathing out and for spiritual breathing, that's repentance. Mm-hmm. That's what repentance is. It's agreeing with God. And every time we agree with him and don't fight him, then there's tremendous power. You know, I always want to tell, you know, we get a lot of critical letters here, and I want to defend myself and go ballistic. And when I go with God's flow, not just there, but when somebody accuses and I find out that's right, then I say, oh, Lord, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do that, and I don't always, when I do that, there's great power in that.
Because you're letting go of who you are, and you're saying, God, I want to do things your way and be your way.
Yeah,
that's good. You know, repentance is a daily thing.
There was a lady, I remember I never read her book. The name of the book, it was not very creative. It was called Repentance. And it was written by a Mother Basilea, who was one of the founders of the Sisters of Darmstadt in Germany. It was a Lutheran sisterhood, and they lived with vows of poverty. But that book sat on my shelf, Repentance. And I looked at it, and every time I looked at it, I felt guilty. I can't do this. And if I'd just gone and read the book, I would have understood. And I really think that what we just talked about is really true.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Great stuff.
Is it possible to bind Satan or a demon? This is from Arizona.
Yeah, that's one of the most common things that is talked about among many segments of Christianity today. I bind you in the name of Jesus, or I cast you out. Boy, there's so many angles to come at this. I would say be careful. The first thing I'd say is be careful to understand that Jesus, we can't do what Jesus did just because Jesus did it. Yeah. We're not Jesus.
Good point.
But
I'm glad you've come to one Messiah per universe, and you're not it.
I learned that.
Yeah, right.
And so the reality is we can pray, I think, with power that God would bind a demon or bind the power of darkness.
The Lord's Prayer delivers from evil. It really delivers from the evil one.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, that's not a problem, but I think that's to recognize that we're not the one, you know, we don't have the spiritual power inherent in us to do all that, and that's what prayer is for. You remember that time when Jesus' disciples could not heal somebody, and somebody asked why, and they said, well, Jesus said this goes out by prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
So some encounters with darkness are more intense than others.
Yeah. They really are. And I don't think there's a pastor listening to us who hasn't come across that on occasion in their ministry. Do you think, when you were saying that, and boy, that's profound, your answer, do you think that sometimes if we don't get it theologically right, that God refuses to act? I mean, like, what do you mean by Satan? I'm like, go ahead, let him get you, because you didn't say it right.
Yeah, right. So you're saying God honors the prayer of
the heart.
Of the heart,
yeah. Yeah.
And the faithful beseeching of the people. Yeah, sure. God answers. God does a whole lot. And we're children, and we don't know how to ask right. We don't even know what to ask.
Yeah, good stuff. Since we're talking about the devil, my eyes just, what we have is a list of questions. We don't have the letters, but the staff compiled these questions. We have thousands of them, and we just, so I don't know. This is an email. No, it's from Ohio. Says, how could Satan have rebelled and fallen if there was no sin in heaven?
One time, R.C. Sproul said, you know, the amazing thing, the most difficult question to answer is, why did Satan fall?
Yeah.
I would agree. Being in the presence of a holy God, having everything right, how could his heart turn? I think that's one of the most difficult question, perhaps, in all theology.
It is a difficult question.
Is that one.
But I see God's sovereignty in that, too. And I think it has to do with how we view these kinds of issues. If we give Satan too much power, again, Satan has his purpose. He was not just created for the fun of it, because God said, wow, that'd be cool to create an angel. I think God created Satan knowing all of the implications, all of the repercussions of that, and knowing that even that fit into his plan.
That's right. That's right. He created Satan with that capacity to fall and to fall into sin. And so he wasn't surprised. This is a big deal.
Yeah, it is. It's a good question. And a lot's been written on that. But I think what we said was quite cogent and deep. And
I don't know where else to go with this.
All right, this is from, you'll like this, from Kansas City. What does the Bible teach about church membership? Do it and tithe and do everything your pastor says, right?
The pastor sitting at his desk with a T-shirt on that says, "Because I'm the pastor, that's why."
Yeah, right. I used to not make a big deal out of it. It's people would say, "I don't join the church. I'm not a Methodist. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Lutheran. I'm a Christian, and I want to say no convictions, huh?" Or something like that. I think it's important to show whose side we're on, that we be a part of a church and formally do that.
I agree, and you made it a good point. We were talking earlier. You said one reason why you didn't emphasize it so much as a pastor is because there's so many manipulators out there, and you didn't want to be a part of that. Your ministry was one of grace. And I agree with that, but I think what you said is right, that we need to go on record and to take vows of membership is consonant with what it means to be a Christian. I'm
like
identifying
that
with this body. I'm joining this mission. I want to be a part of it. Not that the pastor is the best preacher or everything's perfect about this church, but I'm going to link arms and be a part of the mission.
And I'm going to formally associate with that.
Right?
I'm pro that. Well, we've got a little bit of time, but not enough time to start another question. Now, why don't you tell us your three greatest sins, and then we'll close them. We are out of time. I appreciate you and your coming in each Friday with us. Next Friday?
It's great to be here. We love you.
Hey, thanks, man. Guys, whenever your writer calls, be sure and give us your call letters at this great station. And one other thing before we go, Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.